Good afternoon. Thank you so much for inviting us to present today. I'm Sarah Wilford. I'm the Library Director for the Iowa Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. And I'll let Leslie and Tim introduce themselves.
I'm Leslie Heinzler. I'm the Special Services Librarian. I do a little bit of everything, cataloging mostly, but a lot of patron services. I work on the mail. I do a lot with the IMC as well.
Tim West, Digital Recording Specialist. Not a video recording specialist.
That's a caveat. I am going to actually kind of read some of my stuff because if I don't stick to script, we'll be here all day. So before we get into the demo, I did want to explain a little bit about the title of our presentation. When we were asked to present, Leslie, Tim, and I met and talked about kind of what we wanted to focus on, what we felt was most important to convey to you. And as we talked, of course, that kind of got us reflecting on our journey to where we are today and what kind of that meant to us and where we all got started. So when we started kind of talking about the details, we ended up really thinking about the bigger picture. So our system was a year old in March, and so it got us reflecting on the previous year. And I will say the devil is always in the details, but this did give us an opportunity to really remember why we made the decision to go all in to a new ILS and a download on-demand service model. So to step back for a minute and look at the big picture again really helped us. So thank you for asking us to present and giving us the opportunity to really reflect again. At the beginning of our process, we decided a few things were our priority for Iowa. And those were making everything flexible so we could customize services. So the key to this was making sure we had, and my staff, they've heard this from me for so long, good and consistent data. That will be what, like, my mantra forever is we want good data. So everything flexible to us meant that services and processes were usually changed to fit what we needed at the time. Customer service, of course, so let our patrons drive our decisions. Accessibility to our entire collection and formats. Efficiency, we wanted processes to be accurate and quick, and then cost. We had, from powers above me, been asked to save money, so that, of course, had to be a priority for us as well. So as we brainstormed about our presentation, we looked at the words we were using to describe kind of what we were doing and where we were going. So the five and dime approach came from the goal to save money, and the number five is important to us, and you'll see why in a little bit. The rest came from our goal to make our ILS really work for us. Not against us, not alongside us, but for us. We wanted it to do the work and to automate where it was appropriate. So the other part of our title, to use it to tear down walls to our collection and build more accessibilities. That meant whether that was accessible formats in our collection to access the data we needed to customize our services, or even in the reports that provided us with the stats that helped us make decisions, we wanted to be able to access it as we needed it. So we presented last month, via Skype to Western Southern Conference, where we created video demonstrating our digital book service model. We have a similar video for you today, but we were able to make it a little bit longer and added some more details. Tim and Leslie recorded the demos and are going to take us through parts of our system. My pieces were redone. I never asked why that happened. Must be a hint. So that's what you'll hear and see from us today. But we will share some stats that we're seeing now that it's a year old throughout the presentation. But I wanted to kind of give you some breaking news stats that Tim just sent me at 12 o'clock this morning about Iowa. IDB currently has 4,313 what we call active patrons. 88% of our patrons are registered as active for digital book. Our mail handling stats, so cartridges sent, we have averages by day of the week, but I'll give you the weak one. We do right now with our new model 624-ish. We average cartridges per week. So for a comparison, with a 1 year's time in our older system, with the one book on a cartridge model, we were averaging 3,327 per week, so over 665 per day. So we're now handling the same amount in a week that we were in 1 day in our old model. So we'll talk a little bit more about the mail handling, but that has been a real key for us is we reduce that time our staff has to handle the mail, reshelve, shift. We had random shelving prior to, so we've eliminated all that. So I won't say much more. We have some other stats to share. We'll kind of let you see, but I did want to let you know we have been, well, even since I've been here, I've heard we were called troublemakers, brave, pioneers, expats. I heard that one the other day. Leaders in crazy. And just so you know, we embrace them all. We're good. I think what has been most important for us and what the entire library staff, almost entire library staff, embraced was being open-minded. Just a willingness to look at things from many perspectives, whether you're outside, inside, beside the box, just to try new things and kind of push our comfort zones a bit. So I know there are a lot of questions about the new model we are using, but I will ask you do what I asked my staff to do when we started this journey. I did ask them to do kind of a brief mind wipe. We didn't want to lose the history and the knowledge, but just for a minute, don't think about our current processes. Start over from scratch. What would you put into your ILS and your digital book circulation model if there were no constraints, no money, no staffing? What would you want that to look like? Just kind of open your mind to a new way to do things, be willing to try new things, but with the same end goal. And that's one thing our staff, we always talk about, same end goal is getting materials to our patrons when they need it. So we talked a lot about things like focus when we talked, don't get caught in the details yet. We'll get to those. We had to talk about that a lot. We'll get to how to label. We'll get to how, but we need to focus on the bigger picture and then we'll work those out. So my staff did an awesome job. We came together, and I think a key, I was just telling Leslie and Tim, that the key was Tim brought in the database side. Leslie and other staff brought in the library side, and we, before we did anything, those two had to come together and had to work together rather than getting the data going first and then maybe making the library piece fit. They work together and work closely together and with purpose. So that, I think, is what helped us and made us successful in Iowa. So I know there's been a lot of discussion about the shelfless library. We were called bookless. We're not bookless. We have lots of books. But the shelfless library, and we hope that our demo and presentation will provide you with the information and insight on how we accomplished this in Iowa. And again, we do have a series of videos to demo the parts of our system. And we are going to pause throughout and take questions or add our two cents in there. But I guess don't be alarmed or offended if we ask you to hold that thought or question. It just means that topic's coming up in the next video or demo. So here's our five and dime approach.
I'm already going to add 2 cents. And that is,
I have a script, so.
Yeah. The 2 cents is we certainly believe in Braille, and the system that we're demonstrating is about digital books, and it also handles Braille and large print. However, the topic today is circulating digital books, so we think Braille is just as important as audio. And I just wanted to add that, because you're not really going to see much about Braille in this presentation, but if anybody wants to talk to me afterwards, I'd be happy to explain to you how the Braille and large print part of our circulation work. And it still works, and it's just as efficient, if not more. So, with that said, I'll start it. Assuming it'll start. Hello.
There we go.
Hello from the Iowa Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped in Des Moines, Iowa. I am Sarah Williford, Library Director. Joining me today is Tim West, Digital Recording Specialist and Database Extraordinaire, and Leslie Heinzler, Special Services Librarian, Cataloging, ILS, and Patron Services Guru. The entire staff has helped in the creation of our new ILS and service model.
That's Apple.
Tim and Leslie are great at listening to the ideas and what is needed and making them so. We have put together a demonstration on our new one-year-old ILS booklist generator and duplication programs. In March of 2016, we transitioned from our old system to EOS Web from Circe Dynex. Our goal for our move was to a new ILS resolved around data. We wanted an ILS that would allow us to create and maintain good data and also allow us to be able to access and use the data for other programs alongside EOS. We knew that an off-the-shelf ILS would not do everything we wanted it to do and looked at it as an opportunity to have a stable foundation of data with the ability to make it do what we needed. So what we are going to show you today is where we are to date on our new system. It is a constant work in progress because we are able to adjust to our patron and workflow needs. We are very excited about our results so far. We have already seen improved efficiencies in providing digital books to patrons because we no longer have to maintain a physical digital collection. This includes the pulling, reshelving, and shifting of those digital books, allowing us to reallocate staff time to other projects and services. We have also been able to get more books out faster using all of our digital collection, widening what our patrons are sent on digital cartridge.
So EOS is our ILS piece, so that's where that data is stored. So what our demo just showed you is Leslie kind of walked through how we enter a patron. So name, address, all that good stuff goes into EOS. And so EOS is the base for our data, our foundation for that. And so what the next demos are going to be are two pieces that we created in-house that work alongside EOS and pull the data that's in EOS into them to use for their different functions.
The circulation tab in EOS is where we begin the process of entering a new patron and where we can find an existing patron. To search for an existing patron, we can search by their last name in the search box. Or to begin entering a new patron, we can click Add and start a new record. For demonstration purposes, I am going to show you an existing patron. The first screen or tab is the patron detail, and where we would begin entering the patron information from the application. On this tab is the patron ID, the patron name, the birth date, contact information, and the status of the patron, whether they are transferred, inactive, deceased, active, or temporary, and also the patron type. The address tab is where we enter their address information. The patron can have up to four addresses. Whatever address is selected at the top is where their books will go. The institution tab is where we enter their eligibility information, whether it is blind, deafblind, physical, reading, visual, or other. The other tab allows us a place to put notes about the patron and also change their password for the OPAC. After we have entered all the information from their application in the correct places, we move on to Booklist Generator to complete their profile information. You will hear from Tim West about Booklist Generator shortly, but first I want to show you another feature of EOS. Along the top is an Account Details tab. The History tab under Account Details gives us all the activity on that patron's account. Here we can see what titles have been downloaded to their cartridges, if they have checked out any Braille or large print, and the date when it all occurred. Here we can also see if the patron has placed a hold or requested a book through our OPAC. The next part of our system is Booklist Generator, and here is Tim to show you the features.
Booklist Generator is designed mostly for the purpose of, you guessed it, generating book lists for patrons. The program layout is roughly divided up into four related sections. The upper left area is the patron information. The lower left is the patron's book list. The upper right area is about cartridge information and actions. And the lower right quadrant is for book, author, and subject and book series type searches.
Let's talk about the patron information section. The patron information section displays minimal but necessary details about a patron derived from our integrated library system, EOS, which includes their name and ID, their library status, and an option to view their addresses. Here we see the ID, the patron's name, their active. Currently, their media type that we're looking at is digital book. If you can take a look at their addresses. That. You can take a look at their has-had list and export it to Excel if you like. I'm going to say no. This section also includes a very important patron profile piece, including the patron's author and subject choices, media type preferences, book type constraints, and frequency status. Before we look at the display, let's take a look at the profile page here. And this is where we can see that Betty, she has for violence, the book type constraint, she says no violence, no explicit sex, no strong language. Both narrator genders are okay. Language one is English, there's not a language two selected, and no one accents. She is inactive for Braille. She is active for large print since October 31st of 2006. And she is a ship two maximum books that she would have a time for. Large print is 6, the frequency is send return, and that means when she sends one back, one book to us back or returns the book, then we immediately will ship another one out to her. She is active for digital books since August of 2013, and she is a multiple books on a cartridge type patron. We will ship 10 books at a time, and her frequency for digital books is send return. Okay, now we'll take a look over here, and here's where you can see the display of the book type constraints. And also, here's her author and subject type preferences. You notice the author, for instance, this Cindy Whitsmall, she likes, Lori Wick, she likes, Daniel Steele, she likes, etc. The options are likes, really likes, do not send, or remove, whatever the particular author subject happens to be, or we can exit and do nothing. And if you notice, the author and the subjects both happen to be sorted by way of the, well, author last name descending and then subject description descending. You can click in the author field and have it reverse, so now it's sorting ascending order, same way with the subject field, ascending or descending. And also, if you're thinking about creating a book list for somebody, there's how many books they've actually read on the left-hand side. And sometimes with our real avid readers, you may want to possibly skip some of those books. And just for the sake of this demonstration, I'm going to skip some of her author books. And this skip is just a temporary type skip. In other words, it will only skip this author during this session. Next time you come back, these skips won't be here. Maybe we'll do one here at this Romance Christian since she's read so many of those. And then I'm going to go ahead and just create a book list for her. It's checking out her authors that she likes and the subjects that she likes against books that she's already read, and if she hasn't read it, then it'll put on the list. In the event of series, it looks for the lowest book in the series that she has not read yet. If it happens to pull up book 3 or 4 and she hasn't read book 2, it'll choose book 2 for her. And at this point, I would have the option to save this book list, or I could actually copy the booklets to the cartridge. And in the next demo, we'll talk just a little bit more about the book list. Okay, now we're going to talk again a little bit about book lists. I'm going to pull up a page turn here. And here you see that it says that there's one book currently on her book list. And this SER, BKL-SER, means it's a series book. And so it's the next book in a series that she wants to read. And while she has some quite a few do not sends on her subject list, and looks like she's read quite a few books too. So we'll just create a list for her, see what we can come up with. There we go. Now, when we take a look at her list, occasionally, if you're talking to the patron, they may want to rearrange some of the books on their list. So if you have a list created like we have here, we can reorder this list. I can grab a book and just move it up a few notches or all the way to the top if I want. I can take a book and move it down. I can grab a book. And this radio show selection, maybe she just doesn't even want it, so I'm going to remove it. Save changes, and again, I can save this to a book list, and then next time you look at her, instead of having one book on her book list, she would have, in this case, 9 books. Or if I had her cartridge here, I could go ahead and just copy the book list to the cartridge. Here's another book list demo. I'll start off with showing you, I'm going to do a search for a patron that we already took a look at here a few minutes ago. And I'm using her phone number, Betty Smith. If you remember from one of the previous demos that she had a bunch of skips on her authors, which she does not have now, okay? So, and just FYI, another way that I could have looked Betty up is I could have done a name on her, a search on her last or first name. And one more way that we could do this is we could actually read cartridge. So, read your cartridge, it'll do a scan here. Now, she has 10 books on her cartridge, so it wants to know if I want to delete them. I'm going to go ahead and say yes. This would have been, you know, the last time the cartridge was sent out to her. Now it's returned. It still has the 10 books on it. It'll take it a few seconds. So let's create a book list for her again. This time it basically just shows all authors because she has so many authors on her list. And I mean, it just makes sense. The more authors you put on your list, probably you're going to get more books of what you actually like, as opposed to the computer just sort of randomly picking out subjects. We encourage our patrons to have as many authors as possible. So this book list, this time I'm just going to go ahead and save this book list. All right? And I will show you next time if we take a look at Betty. I'll use the drop down this time. There's her saved book list.
And just FYI, we believe that it's best for the patrons to choose their own books. And so through our EO system, through the OPAC, if they get online and put a hold on a book, the system reads that hold. So it'll be the first thing that pops up on a list. And then secondarily, we think it's best for the patrons to have their favorite authors. And so if it doesn't find a hold, then it searches their author profile. As it goes through the author profile, it'll go through the entire list. If it gets through the list once, then it goes to the subject profile, and we'll pick out books on subjects. It always checks the has-had list to see if they've had the book or not. If they've had it, it won't automatically put it on there. In some cases, as it's putting it on, you may see that when it hits an author, it'll say skip, and that would mean that it's already checked that author. They've read all the books by that author, so next time around, it's just going to skip that author when it does its search again. Anyway, I'll go ahead and continue on.
Our cartridge philosophy is this: simple. Simple labels on the container and the cartridge. Print an address label once for a patron, or at least as few times as possible. And write a simple text file to the cartridge for automation purposes. In this text file is patron identification, the cartridge type, which indicates who it belongs to, date created, which is used for tracking of the cartridge usage, as in single or multi-use, meaning one book on the cartridge at a time or multiple books on the cartridge for this particular patron. The last mail-to address, and that's used for comparing addresses so that you can check your label against what the current mail-to address is in the database. And also, last books sent and the date that these books were sent out. Where are IDB cartridges located? In the patron machines, in the mail, or in our SuperDuke toasters? Hopefully, not on a shelf.
The demo is on cartridge information and actions. In the right-hand corner of the software, we find the part that allows us to manipulate a cartridge. Either writing a patron ID, we can create labels for the cartridge in the container. We can enable the cartridge for our automation. You can read the cartridge to select a patron. It'll display whether the cartridge type is single or multi, meaning the patron would get one book at a time or many books at a time. The program automatically turns off the DTBC protect. The program will display the cartridge count. You can wipe the cartridge clean, meaning that it will remove the name from the database that they have this particular cartridge. You can delete all files on a cartridge. Of course, it tells you the cartridge strike path, file size, how many files are on the cartridge, etc. And we have an option button to include instruction files in the latest machine upgrade file, which we'll demonstrate that in a minute. So I'm going to start by saying, first of all, let's talk about for a second who the cartridge belongs to. If the cartridge is owned by the patron, it would be their personal cartridge. So when I click on that, notice the DTB protect goes off. The cartridge may be a library circulation cartridge, and when we have brand new patrons, we will give them two circulation cartridges. The theory is one cartridge would be in the machine. The second cartridge, when they send it to us, we would put it in our SuperDuke program, and in the same day, it would go back into the mail, so it would never sit on a shelf. The cartridge might be a library complimentary cartridge, which is a free cartridge that's provided to the patron by the friends of the library. The cartridge may be a no patron ID type cartridge, and that's for either using internally or demonstrations or what have you. The cartridge may be a library magazine cartridge for our magazine program. So we're going to demonstrate library circulation. I'm going to stick the cartridge in, then I'll read the cartridge. It's going to do a scan. It's telling me what I already know, that the cartridge is blank and that there's no patron ID on it. So I'm going to make sure that I have who I want this cartridge to belong to. It's the library circulation cartridge. going to select my patron here. Marlon has 10 books on her list, and she did call me the other day. She said that she wanted this book, Good Food, Glutton-Free Recipes, that she wants this to be basically her first book. Yeah, or whatever. So yeah. I'm going to put it on the first book in the list. That way, when she goes to read these books, it'll be the very first one. So, now let's write the patron ID. If you wish to add gammon to this cartridge, I'm going to say. Now, the cartridge count, which was zero before, now says that she has one cartridge, indicates that it's multiple books on a cartridge usage. And when I was talking to Marlon on the phone, she seemed to understand the bookshelf mode okay. But when we have a brand new patron, we want to include instruction files and upgrade. And what that'll do, I'm going to go ahead and start copying this book list to the cartridge. And I'm going to select two books just so that it doesn't make the demo too long. So what it does when it starts to copy is it will copy instruction files on how to use bookshelf mode, the latest library news, and the third thing is asking me is, do I want to include BARD download help instructions? I'm going to say yes, because she said that she was interested in BARD.
Those are our little audiobooks.
And it also copies the upgrade file for the machine. Then it will actually go ahead and start copying the books. And it puts them in that order, so the very first thing she encounters when she's listening to this first circulation cartridge is the bookshelf, how to use bookshelf mode. That way, if she misunderstood or got confused or just forgot what we talked about, it'll give her pointers and tell her how she can proceed with the rest of the books on the tape. And this is also helpful if a patron's been with us for a while and sometimes elderly people get confused, you can go ahead and include it. The include instruction files and upgrades is an option and it's not normally checked, but it is helpful. So one thing that would be important on this cartridge is we would want to be able to add labels. So I'm going to take a look here. This would be the circulation label, and you can place it anywhere you want to on the label sheet to print it. You can also do your circulation, the container label for the circulation cartridge. And again, you can put it anywhere. You can select anywhere you want to put it on here. So that would be how we would create a patron circulation cartridge for a patron. Now, if this patron, for whatever reason, maybe they were deceased or they're done with it, our services, what have you, they give us back this cartridge. If we're done with the cartridge, we have an option to wipe the patron cartridge clean. So I'm going to go ahead and do this, again, for demonstration purposes. It tells me it's going to erase everything on the cartridge. It's actually just going to do a fast file format. And now the cartridge count for Marlon is zero. And you can see there's zero books in the cartridge. The free space is back to the full 3.73 gigabyte. And that would be how you would actually remove the patron or wipe the patron clean. There are other options of we can restore a book list from a cartridge. We can delete everything that's on the cartridge. But mostly what you're going to do is either read the cartridge or write a patron ID to the cartridge, add additional cartridges, etc.
I'm going to skip the search feature just because I see, sorry, remind me, we've got probably less than 10 minutes. In the search feature, basically you can search for an author, a subject, a title, a word in the title, keyword search, so if you're looking for words that's in annotation or whatever. Series search, you can also search for, there's an option to import the booklet, talking book topics. And so you can search pretty much any way you want to search for a book, and it's relatively quick. And the cool thing about the search is you can search on a search. So if the search returns, a list of books, and you can, with that list of books, you can click on any of the authors that's in that list, and it'll pull up books by that author. You can click on any subject that's in that list, and it'll pull up. Anyway, the search is pretty cool. I'm going to move on. Let's see here. Let's skip to the Super Duke part. First, I'll play the
Super Duke Cloud's digital book duplication program. It works with EOS and Booklist Generator, and I might add, thanks to NLS's digital book contributions in RSync, a very nice supply of digital book masters. The software is designed to copy multiple books on up to 5 cartridges at a time. It can copy 50 books to 5 cartridges, typically in about 8 minutes or so from start to finish. We have 3 stations set up next to each other, and one person usually does our duplication each day. We can copy up to 150 books to 15 cartridges with the system in around 10 to 15 minutes. The initial prep step is to take the cartridge out of the mail tubs and stack them 5 high with a patron address label showing. Then you simply insert the cartridges into our homemade toasters, more on that later, and click the Start Process button. The program reads the cartridges to determine who the patrons are, that they have an active library status in EOS, and that they are active for digital books, and what type of cartridge has been inserted, like a circulation or a magazine cartridge. It determines whether the patron is a single or multi-book per cartridge user, and the program displays the patron's current mail-to address for comparison to the container address label. All previous books on the cartridges are erased at this time. Inactive patrons are flagged, and if the current mail-to address does not match the address on the cartridge, and hence the label might need change, that is also flagged. Next, the operator clicks the Check Booklist button. For active send-return patrons, if a patron does not have a booklist, including any holds placed or previous requests, one is created on the spot, assuming they have a profile set up from Booklist Generator. If the patron is an on-demand patron, it only checks for their book requests. If no list is found, it indicates the cartridge will need to go on our relatively small on-demand shelf. The final step is copy books. Single users will get 1 book, multi-users will get 10 books. Actually, the last step, after removing the very few inactive, not enough profile info, or on-demand patrons with no books requested, is putting the cartridges back into the respective containers and placing them right back into the mail. Our goal is to handle the cartridges very minimally for each visit. Also, using Booklist Generator and EOS, we typically fix any discrepancies right as we go, including printing new address labels if needed. And did I mention not having to mess with shelving?
Feel free to ask questions. I'm going to go ahead and just play a video of Sarah actually doing the Super Duke process, and if you have questions, you can ask them now.
And I do have a couple of stats that we wanted to share with you just regarding our patrons. So 91% of our patron cert cartridges are bookshelf capable or multi-book. So 91% of our patrons that are getting digital books are doing the 10 books per cartridge. About 18-19% of these are the single use people. And just a little bit, Tim already touched on a little bit of how much we handle, but over the last 12 months using EOS, cartridges sent was 31,178 total. Of those, 3,359 were the single cartridges sent, so 27,819 were the 10 books per. And so total book titles sent were for us last 12 months was 310,080 book titles.
310.
And the number of different titles sent was 30,915.
Is that the one you're looking for? 30,000.
Yeah, and what we have found and what's been really great for us is of those number of different titles set, 30%, we're using 30% more of our collection is going out the door because of the way they're being selected for our patrons.
We sent out twice as many books, 1/5 as much mail handling.
What's your feedback from your patrons? Oh.
I will say we struggled. We tried to be proactive with bookshelf mode. We did call kind of our super users before we went, but we did end up with a very short timeline that we weren't expecting, so we would have liked to do more, but we can probably recite bookshelf instructions in our sleep. So that was one point that held us up, but we'll have some that when we first started went to single, and now they're calling us saying, I want the 10. So some were early adopters, some came along, and some just need the single.
But in general, they like getting their books and the mix of books. Have they noticed?
Yes, and some have liked that, and some have not. So what we just always encourage them to do is tell us, you know, if an author or whatever ended up on your cartridge, call us. And we have the ability to make sure you don't get that author again or that kind of thing. So we really encourage them to contact us and work with us on their profiles.
Okay, didn't look like the labels were embossed. Does that cause problems? And do they
get, are.
Is it an open-ended checkout period, or what? Do you have a checkout period?
We don't. We don't have a checkout period. They are embossed. We do Braille on.
I got one over here.
I think my voice is loud enough. Tim, do you use a NAS server or NAS array to download your books from the Central Archive?
Yes, it's actually from rsync. And the server that we use it's separate from the rest of our service, and it's protected, but still accessible from our network. And our all the SuperDupe computers actually have 4 terabyte drives in them. And so a good share of the rsync titles are actually on our local computer for faster downloads. However, if it doesn't find it on the local computer, it goes to the rsync server and pulls it directly from there. And that includes our local books, any of the DBCs that are out there. So we have over 71,000 titles available. Like you saw, we don't actually keep them on the shelf. They just get downloaded immediately. Cartridge comes in, goes into the toaster, gets put in a container, goes back out in the mail.
You can do 15 at a time.
15 at a time. It usually takes more time to load and unload than it does. I mean, so usually about 10, 12 minutes or so to get through that list of 15. Plus you're checking all of the address labels, making sure the program does flag you and tell you that if it address the previous mail to is different than what the current mail to is. So on a given day, we may end up with 3 or 4 labels that need to be adjusted, but for the most part, we're not printing labels every day. Very few. So, yeah.
I was wondering, do you sign them up for the OPAC as soon as they fill out the application?
Yes, we really don't have to sign them up. They're automatically part of the OPAC, okay. And then we can give them a user ID or their password and their user ID at that time as well.
You provide that
yes.
with your initial contact?
We try to, yes.
Okay.
And we get their profile right then and there, what authors, what subjects. And you certainly have to do what Pat was suggesting the other day. We have to talk to our patrons and say, you know, how can we help you? Because that's what this is a tool to help our patrons get exactly what they want. And sometimes they don't know what they want, and we have to help by suggesting. Yeah.
And it's allowed us to have, time to place follow-up calls to our new patrons. So we call a couple weeks later and ask how they're doing, if they have any questions. And at that time, we can also get them ready for the OPAC if they're ready to do the OPAC.
So you mentioned that you contact some power users and memorize the bookshelf functions. Did you do anything else to give your patrons a heads up about how this was going to change?
We talked about it before implementation at consumer group conferences, wherever we could talk about it, our
Library
commission
news.
Meetings, our newsletters. So we kind of tried to hit as much, and we needed the word of mouth to help us on that. So we did, I would say, we started kind of a buzz, but we still have people who I'll be on the phone with them, and they won't know there's 10 books on the cartridge.
Any hindsight observations, if someone was to do something like this, that you'd suggest?
Bookshelf. Education early. Yeah.
And I'm gonna ask another question. What have you noticed for a failure rate on cartridges?
Very rare. Rare.
We get mostly the black dot, which means you need to pull it out and figure out what's going on, or sometimes it'll tell you. I'm going to be honest, the most I get black dots for are the deceased, that their cartridges are coming back. We will have some that are flagged just because, honestly, they had five authors and there's nothing else to send them based on their profile. So that's where we can do those follow-up calls and get them some more options. But I mean, honestly, I would say the most are deceased.
Yeah, what she means by the black dots is a green dot means that the cartridge is good to go, throw it right back in the mail. The black dot means there's something you need to look at, and it could be something simple as this patron is an on-demand patron. They don't automatically get a book list generated. They only get a book if they've requested it. So if that cartridge comes back and they're on demand, it'll just go on their on-demand shelf. We have one shelf that's not full, but of on-demand type patrons. If they're deceased, if they're inactive, if they've transferred, if something's happened to their player, like they've had to send the player in, we don't send them out cartridges until we know that they have a legitimate player. So those would be the cases. But most of the books, the greatest share of them, are going to go right back out.
How can transfers work? I mean, it's kind of nice now where sometimes we can have all of the has-hads go right into our system when we have a patron transferred. Is that possible with this system?
It is coming because of thanks to PIMS and the information that we can share with PIMS. Right at the moment, the book list generator and the SuperDupe program itself, I'm still writing the code to talk to PIMS, and I imagine in a month or so that'll be done. I do have a machines module, which I didn't demonstrate, that talks directly to our system and talks to PIMS. So in the future, it'll be basically transparent. If you want to transfer somebody, it'll do the work. So it'd be nice if all of our systems would just easily talk to one another. But I think PIMS is helping us with that. The other thing I might add, you didn't ask it, but the book, when we generate a book list, that book list can be sent to a cloud. That book list doesn't have to go to our network. So as soon as Karen tells us that we have some Wi-Fi enabled machines out there, I am excited to say we want to send those babies. Same way with the refreshable Braille, because simply we're just creating a book list, and you know, we're looking forward to that technology. So. Sure, Karen. Here comes the microphone.
So my question is this. Is the system accessible so that you could have a blind staff do the duplication or any other part of it?
Mostly. And the reason I say that is I haven't thoroughly tested. I'm converting. Everything I wrote started several years back, and I actually wrote it originally in VB6. And the first generation of this, Susie Stagerberg and Sarah Cranston and other blind staff did use it without any issues. I have added many, many, many features since then. And frankly, I'm converting it into a C-sharp program. And so when it's completely converted into C-sharp, it will be absolutely accessible. Right now with VB6, there's certain things that JAWS and some other things don't particularly like with VB6. And somebody like Sarah Cranston knew how to move around, but I'm not sure everybody would. So my answer right now today, I wouldn't guarantee anything, but I think when it's in its final C-sharp stage that it will be very accessible.
I would be delighted if that was a goal.
Mm-hmm. That is definitely a goal. Well, it'll be a reality.
And I'll say what we should do is definitely a work in progress. In EOS, there's modules we haven't even gotten to yet, acquisitions, interlibrary loan, the serials, magazine piece. And some stuff you didn't see that we haven't totally implemented. Well, talking book topics, we can pull up the latest talking book topics and go through and add those to a person's list. It'll come up in the search box for us.
Right, in the same order as the printed form.
Tim and I are working on is if you like kind of database piece. So if somebody has read all the Daniel Steele, we could say, hey, we're going to send you a couple authors to try and give us that feedback. And it'll actually show us in Booklist Generator those are authors we suggested. And so we can kind of talk to them about, so we suggested these authors, did you like them? And then we can mark them accordingly. So we have some stuff we're still working on.
All right. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.